Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com today. Very excited to introduce a personal friend of mine, Dr. Ron Lester. He's from Tucson, Arizona. Here's Dr. Ron.
Hey, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona today. We are so thrilled that you've joined us on this radio broadcast, BPN Radio, and this is Preaching Sunday, and I tell you what, we have been blessed. I tell you what, when you think about what God has done for you, I tell you what, there's nothing else that you can do but say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, I know that many times people ask me, you know, about how can you be doing this without any sight. As you know, I'm totally blind. I have a book or two out that's called, one of them is called I'm Blind, What's Your Excuse? And the other one is The Day the Lights Went Out. And you can pick those books up on Amazon or Barnes and Noble or Apple. You can pick up as an e-book or you can pick them up as a paperback book. But I just encourage you to get one of those books and pass it on to somebody else. And it tells about, you know, the things that I've gone through, the challenges that I've gone through and what have you. But our sermon today is basically, what is that in your hand? That's it from Exodus. What chapter is that, Paul?
4:2.
Yeah, Exodus 4 and 2. And Paul is going to read the scripture there, about four verses there in Exodus. But he's talking about Moses here. And what is that in your hand? I asked you that question. I want you to be thinking about that question. Hopefully we can get through, and maybe you'll be able to decide that you have something in your hand that you have never thought about. So, Paul, go ahead and read that scripture there.
So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we come before you, Lord, today, and we ask you, Lord, to minister to the Word, that the Word of God will go around the world, that it will minister to every nation in the world. We pray that God will touch people's lives wherever they're at today, that they'll understand that, hey, I have something in my hand. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, as we look at this and we think about what Moses was going through right there, Moses was an individual that God had called. You know, he had anointed him from the very beginning, from the time that he was born. He was a special child, and everybody that seen him was, you know, knew that he was a very special child. He'd been 3 months. Pharaoh's daughter, when she seen him, you know, at that time they were supposed to kill all of the boys that was born to the to the Israelites down in Egypt there. And they were told, you know, basically, you know, destroy all the boys. And, you know, all the interesting thing is that every time that Israelite women had a baby, the midwives of the Egyptians, you know, they were too late. The Israelites had already delivered their babies, and the Egyptian midwives were blessed, and their wounds was opened up, and God blessed them, you know. And so we see Moses as a babe in that bush. They put him in that basket, you know. They put, you know, a basket that had been sealed where it would not sink and what have you. You know, that baby began to cry. And at the same time, that Pharaoh's daughter, she came down to bathe, and she heard the baby crying, and she had the babe brought to her. And she seen that it was a very special individual. And she was so proud of that baby that she wanted it. And so anyway, the interesting thing is that, Moses' sister asked Pharaoh, did she want one of the Israelite ladies to come and take care of the baby, you know, nurse it and what have you. And so Moses' mother got to nurse that baby up until it was time to take it to Pharaoh's daughter. And he grew up in Pharaoh's kingdom. He grew up in the castle, in the places, you know, where he was well educated. He had the greatest scribes that there was in that time that taught that young man everything that you could think of. This was a very special individual. Moses was well educated for 40 years, mind you. Moses was in the area of Pharaoh, and he knew exactly what was happening, you know, in that area. And one day, at 40 years old, he decided to go down to look at. He knew it was different because it didn't look like the Egyptians. And so, anyway, he decided to go down and look at his people and see how they were faring. And he seen one, you know, an Israelite and an Egyptian that was that was fighting and what have you. And all of a sudden, he just ups and he kills the Egyptian and he buries him. And the next day, two Israelites are out there fighting and what have you. And one of them says, are you going to kill us too? And he knew that he was in trouble. The word got back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh put out a warrant for his arrest and probably put out, some kind of bounty on his head and what have you. And Moses knew that he was in trouble. And so at 40 years old, he takes off. He leaves that area and he goes to the backside of the desert. And he meets up with Jethro and winds up taking care of the sheep for the next 40 years. Can you imagine? I mean, this man, 40 years in all of the luxury and all of the things that Pharaoh had. I mean, he had the best of the food. He had the best of the education. He had the best of everything. And what did he do? He gave it up. He left and went to the backside of the desert where there was nothing. You know, I mean, that's just something. I mean, he was probably the next Pharaoh, to be in the position of a Pharaoh. That was his next position. And, God's hand was up on him. And, it just so happened, you know, that he wound up, killing somebody. And, that was the end of his, expo, as you might say, to become the Pharaoh of all of Egypt, all of that area. And boy, now how did the Israelites get down there? You know, when we think about how the Israelites wound up down there, was that Joseph has been sitting down there 400 years up to that time. They were down there for 430 years down in Egypt. You know, they had came out of the land of Canaan. They had such a famine and what have you. And Joseph was the one that basically, which was Jacob's well, I guess you would call it his favorite son. He had made him a coat of many colors, and, you know, his brothers hated him because he had always said, you know, he went around bragging probably at, you know, 15, 16 or 17 years old, somewhere in that age, you know, that, he was telling about their dream, his dream and what have you, that they were all going to bow down to him and what have you. And so they just couldn't stand that. And when they finally, you know, they finally captured him and, they sold him down into Egypt. And, we see Joseph as an individual that basically, loved God. He was, you know, had the love of God in his life, even though that he was accused of, rape. You know, Potiphar's wife, she accused him of rape, and, Potiphar, you know, he basically put him in prison. And, we see, you know, Jacob down there in the prison for the next, many years, 13 years altogether, that he was down in Egypt, until one day the Pharaoh had a dream, and he tried to get his scribes to, you know, the wise man to tell him, you know, what the dream meant, you know, that he had, you know, 7 fat cows and then 7 lean cows, and the lean cows ate up the fat cows, you know, and the same thing with the corn, you know, had 7 good ears, and then there came 7 bad ears, and they ate them up, and what have you. And Joseph was able to interpret that dream that there was going to be 7 years the crops would be very, for the next 7 years would be great, but the next 7 years after that there would be a famine in the country, and that needed someone to supervise it, to get it all, the grain, and bring it in and what have you. And Pharaoh placed Joseph in that position and wound up bringing Jacob and all of his kin all down to the land of Goshen, and they sat there and they were blessed. They had the best of everything until Joseph died, and nobody, Pharaoh didn't know any, you know, who Joseph was, you know. I mean, Joseph, when you look at his life, from 30 years old until I believe it was 80 years old, for 50 years, Joseph was, the prime minister of Egypt. And, so I tell you what, we see something as a great, great miracle. We never know what God is going to place us in. And we see this scripture here of Moses as he had been in the backside of the desert for 40 years. Now he was 80 years old according to what we read in the Bible. But all of a sudden, you know, God seen him after 40 years, mind you. 40 years, he sees Moses on the backside of the desert. He says, it's time, you know, to go get, you know, my people out of that Egypt. And so, anyway, there was a bush that basically was on fire. And that bush basically was not burning up. The fire was coming out of it. And I've read several articles on why that bush never burned up. There's at a certain time of the year, there is a bush that puts off an oily substance, and that oily substance basically, you know, secretes out of that bush, and if it's hot enough, if the temperature gets, you know, at extreme heat, when you know, the heat in that area in the desert gets up to 130 or more degrees, it actually sets that oil on fire, and it'll burn right there. It will not burn up that bush at all, but it secretes that oil in it. And so anyway, God began to speak out of this bush. And Moses, you know, he draws close to it and he looks at it and he's trying to figure out, you know, why is that bush burning and it's not burning up? And when he gets close to it, there's something that speaks to him. God speaks to him and says, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Now listen, folks, you don't take off your shoes in the desert at 130 degrees when the temperature, you know, the sand is that hot. Moses knew that it was God for some reason, and he took off those shoes, and he was, I'm sure that that ground was just as cool as it could be, and God began to speak to Moses. From that point on, he was just, you know, began to communicate with him and what have you, and began to talk with him and tell him, you know, that he was going to go down to Egypt. He was going to rescue the children of Israel and bring them out of that land. You know, Moses, he could not believe it. But one of the things in that chapter, in Exodus, the fourth chapter, and it's a very important verse that we need to catch hold of. He says, what is that in your hand? And you know, all of the people back in those days had a rod. And what was the rod for? You know, a lot of people thought it was just for a walking cane and what have you. But as you look at history and look at some of the rods that have been, you know, presented and what have you, that rod is a history. They carve that, all the events that's ever happened to them, they carve it on those rods, and so they'll have a history of what has happened to them. And they look at that, they begin, you know, a lot of times they will sit down and they would tell the kids, you know, exactly what is happening, you know, at this time. And when you look at see, they didn't have a written word, you know, like the Bible. They didn't have any, you know, any times. I've always wondered, you know, how did Moses know, how did he get, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, how did he know to write those? How did he remember to, you know, put those on paper, on some kind of parcels, or most time they use skins that they, you know, wrote on and what have you. And the reason that they were able to, he was able to do that and remember that, is because the rod that he carried, he put down all of the events that happened to him on that rod. And, you know, he put the date. They would put the date. They would put, you know, symbols of what was actually happening and during that time period. And see, that's why it's so important for each one of us that we will put down, you know, what is important in our lives. In other words, we need to have a diary of what's happening and why, you know, this happened and that happened, you know. And excuse me for a minute. Let me get a drink of water here. But, you know, it is so important that we remember. Well, I'm back here. I tell you what, I had to take a little break here for the drink of water, and had one of them coughing spells. I've been, you know, basically I went to Washington, D.C. 3 weeks ago, and when I was coming back, I done really well. We had been up there, you know, and it was cold, and we got wet, and you know, anyway, I sit between two ladies that always sit in the middle seat since I'm a pretty small guy, you know. And I was sitting between these two ladies, and both of them was coughing their heads off. And I made it for about 3 days after that, and then all of a sudden I started coughing, and I had to go to the doctor this last week, and I had a what they call a upper respiratory infection. And so, anyway, I've been sleeping, sitting up. So if you ever have a real problem with coughing and what have you, if you can sit up, it really helps in that aspect. Every time I would lay down, I just start coughing and couldn't get any sleep and what have you. And so, anyway, let's get back to this story here about Moses. And as we look at this, he says, you know, God looks at him and he says, you know what? What is that in your hand? And I asked you today, what is it that you have in your hand that you could do something for God? You know, there's so many things that we have in our hand that we could do something for God. Well, Moses, as he, Moses said, well, you know, basically I have a rod in my hand. You know, this is my hand, you know, this is my history. This is my diary. This is all the things that I've had to go through, all the things that I've had to endure, you know. He has a history of everything written on that cane. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, what kind of cane was it? Well, it was a wood cane, very strong. And most of the time it had a hook on the upper end. And I always wondered, you know, what was the symbol of that, reason why it had a hook. And a lot of times when you're taking care of sheep, a lot of times you can take that hook and you can reach down and grab a sheep by the neck and bring it back into the place where it's supposed to be. And so it was used for many different things, you know. But it was a very strong hook, very strong cane and what have you. But God said, throw it down. And so Moses, you know, he seen, you know, well, okay, I'm going to obey God. By faith, Moses throwed the cane down, and all of a sudden it turned into a snake. And it says in the Word of God, it says right there that Moses fled from it. Now, I'll tell you what, when a snake comes around me, I flee from it. I go the opposite direction. I do not have a desire to be around snakes. I've had too much experience with snakes. My sister got bit with a water moccasin one time when she was about 4 years old and I think I was six. We was down by the creek and she got bit by it. And I tell you what, I don't like snakes. And, anyway, I thought she was going to die. And, They rushed her to the pastor or the church. They was having a revival, and they began to pray for that girl. And I tell you what, she was already passed out. She is already, she had turned white as a sheet and what have you. And they prayed, and I tell you what, God healed her immediately, and she was up and playing in just a little while. Was no evidence of any problem whatsoever. But that was a healing miracle of God. And so we're grateful for God. But I just, I think about those snakes and I just do not have a desire to be around those snakes. I don't, and I don't blame Moses for fleeing. But God speaks to Moses and he says, you know, pick up that snake by the tail. And he picks him up. He catches his snake. He picks it up. And all of a sudden, as he lifts it up, it turns back into the rod. It turns into a rod. And it's like, wow. And and Moses, you know, he says, what is the deal here, you know? And God speaks to him and he says, the reason that you are to use that, he says, to basically it is to, you know, to show the Egyptians that God is real, and tell them that the I am is here. And so anyway, Moses, after 40 years, he decides it's time, you know, to go back. He begins to argue with God, and he says, you know, I can't do this, you know. And he basically says, you know, I'm slow to speak. I can't do it. He says, well, I'm sending Aaron right now. Aaron's coming to meet you. He's coming to find you. And he's a good mouthpiece. He can talk for you. You tell him what to say, and he'll do it, you know. And so, anyway, as Moses and Aaron, as they return to Egypt and what have you, they begin to, you know, show the Israelite, the people, you know, exactly what God has showed them. You know, he throws the rod down, and it turns into a snake, and they begin to, you know, I guess this guy is who he is, you know. He puts his hand in his bosom, and it comes out with the leprosy, and he puts it back in, and it's back like fresh skin and what have you. And God tells him to go and speak to Pharaoh to let his people go. Let them go and worship God, you know. Let them go down and, you know, wherever they need to go to worship God. And so it was a battle. And we see it for, you know, many days, you know, that they are in a situation where that they basically or a battle back and forth. I don't know how long it took them to get the children of Israel to be released. You know, we see the 10 plagues that happen. I mean, you see all kinds of things that is taking place. God is the one that performs a miracle. Every time we turn around, we see a miracle. And if you go to Exodus and you look at and you see what all is happening in that place, but my whole emphasis for you today is I want to ask you, what is it that you have in your hand that you could do for God? What can you do? What is the miracle that you have? You have a car to pick up people. You have a house that you could basically invite people to have a Bible study in. What is it that you could do? You have groceries in your pantry that you could share with somebody that's homeless, somebody that needs food. What do you have that would be of help? He tells us to look to the widows, to the orphans, and to those that are in need. Somebody, you need to look and see. Look around you and see what you have. Look at all of the things that you have in your garage. Is there anything in there that you could give away, that you could, you know, sell and give the money to the poor or give it to a missionary? What do you have? Ask yourself, what do I have in my possessions that would be a blessing to somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. You may even have an extra house for a missionary that comes home for, you know, for the year to go out and preach and what have you, and make it available. You know, I think that'd be an awesome thing to have, an extra house that a missionary can stay in for free. So anyway, just, you know, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson. And I just feel like, you know, that we have a lot of things in our hands that we just don't realize. We don't think about it every day. We don't, you know, it just slips through our hands and we're not thinking about it. What do you have in your hand that you could be a blessing to someone today? I just ask you right now, maybe you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to think about it and ask Jesus to come into your heart today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I believe if you said that prayer, I believe the Lord has forgiven you of your sins. Good. In a Bible church. May God bless. Love you.